It's Ian Pickus, and we're back in the Congressional Corner today with New York Congressman Mark Molinaro, a Republican from New York's 19th District. He's been in office since 2023. And I want to start today talking about learning loss. Parents have, since especially COVID, been very worried about this, and you have a new bill that would address it. What does it do?
So our bill focuses specifically on the regression in learning loss among those receiving special education services, although there have been concerted efforts to sort of calculate the loss among all students. But keep in mind, during COVID and school shutdown, students of all backgrounds saw learning loss, and there was regression. Those on special education programming were left, in many cases, struggling even that much harder. Not because special education teachers didn't care, they did. Not because parents didn't want them to get the services, they did, but because government said, in particular New York, the governor said very specifically certain services could not be provided. And this population, those with intellectual, physical, and developmental disabilities, saw among the most significant regression. And because of it, not only did they have learning loss, but they had real impact to their health and their independence. That cannot be swept under the carpet, and somehow we need to recapture it. It's, by the way, why I support full funding of IDEA, special education, bipartisan legislation, but it's why my bill is meant to really confront that learning loss, evaluate what occurred, and then what steps can we take to ensure. It could be more money, it could be more resources, it could be more efficiency in the delivery of services. How do we ensure individuals with special education requirements, IEPs, are getting the service and support they need? And the fact, by the way, that the state of New York still, even to today, has not conducted or completed its evaluation of the impacts of decisions during COVID. New Jersey did some months ago. The fact that New York still hasn't, and I worry that New York is going to have a whitewashed report, is truly, it's embarrassing and it's harmful. And so I've made advocating for those with disabilities a priority. This is among multiple bills that we sponsor, everything from assisting those with early diagnoses, getting the support that they need as a family welcomes somebody with a disability into the world, to job opportunities and tax credits to get people with intellectual, physical, and developmental disabilities to work, to school, to housing, and on transportation that they need.
Let me go to another area now. You are co-sponsoring an IVF bill, which is in response to a ruling by a conservative judge in Alabama that threw the practice, really, frankly, into chaos in that state. So what's your view of how things should move forward there?
Yeah, I think that, and I mean this sincerely, we have got to show respect and support to women irrespective of the choice they make. And what that means to me is objecting to any effort by the federal government to ban access. I have opposed a national ban. I remain committed to opposing a national ban.
You mean on abortion?
On abortion, while at the same time making sure families that wish to bring life into the world and ultimately to grow their family have support, which, by the way, means that I've objected to restrictions on accessing birth control, and it's why I support bipartisan legislation to advance protection for IVF. IVF is an opportunity for women who, by the way, are making a very deliberate choice with their family to bring a child into the world. It is not an easy one. It is one that comes with pain. It is one that comes with success and failure. And we shouldn't be in a position where some judge or court in Alabama is undermining what ought to be a very deliberate and careful decision by families. And that's why I support protecting IVF access. And it's also why, I'll say this now to preempt your question, it's also why I think the Arizona decision of several days ago, referencing some 1864 pre-state law to ultimately ban abortion in that state, is absurd. And so we have to be respectful of women and the choice they make. We have to be certain that they have access to the support that they need as they make those decisions. And that means everything from support prenatal to neonatal care. It's why I support, by the way, more telehealth and more access to rural federal health care providers, so that communities like ours and women throughout upstate New York have access. And it's also why I support IVF as a means of individuals making the choice to bring life into the world.
Yeah, I was going to ask about the Arizona ruling, and it leads me to this question, which is, you know, having almost 2 years now of experience and sort of ripple effects, You know, looking back on it, do you think that the Supreme Court, by overturning Roe v. Wade, maybe opened up a Pandora's box? Did they ultimately get that decision wrong?
Well, the court made the decision, and the Supreme Court is the ultimate arbiter on what is or is not constitutional. I think that states and lesser courts, like we saw in Alabama and Arizona, are well over their skis and, frankly, inappropriate and outside their jurisdiction, which is why I think we ought to ensure there are basic protections like accessing IVF and ensuring that women have the support, the medical care they need, neonatal, prenatal, the support that they may need if they bring a child with a disability into the world, and accessing medical support. So no matter where they live in any zip code, they have the ability to make a choice that is supported and that is not undermined. Now in states like New York, of course, there's broad access to both abortion and other services. I just think that women ought to be respected irrespective of the choice they make, and we ought to be doing our level best to ensure that they have access to quality health care.
So if I hear you right, do you think that the efforts to roll back access to mifepristone are misguided?
I blocked it from happening in Congress. I am the reason that they were unable to move a prohibition on mifepristone in the FDA agriculture bill. I made it perfectly clear it was inexcusable and inappropriate. And by the way, when I served in the state assembly, I made very clear that there needs to be access to birth control as a means of helping people who have to make tough choices. Listen, I will never know some of the choices that a woman needs to make. I know the choices my family has had to make. 20 years ago, I wouldn't have asked for a child with a disability, but 20 years later, I wouldn't have asked for anything other. And so we ought to respect families and women as they make those decisions. And again, in this environment, we simply need to ensure, and I am certainly in the communities I represent, that there's access. Again, federal health care clinics, telemedicine, prenatal, neonatal care, IVF, birth control, all of these resources and supports so that people know that we respect women, know that we respect the decision that they ultimately will make.
Let's end by talking about Head Start in Sullivan County. On this show, we talked about it. There was a sudden closure and people didn't really know where to bring their kids. Now it's reopened, I understand. So what's the situation there now?
First, this has never happened in America. Head Start has a closure process. Sullivan Head Start should have notified the Office of Head Start, and then there's a transition, and during that transition, a temporary provider and no interruption in services. Because Sullivan acted to close, there were families and children who didn't have access and support. That should not happen. Shouldn't be. Now, we've been working with local leaders, the Department of Social Services within Sullivan County. We certainly have been coordinating and working with Senator Schumer's office and ultimately the Office of Head Start. There is now a transitionary agency that's providing service. And Head Start restarted in Sullivan County on April 9th and 10th. There still needs to be accountability. What happened? How did it happen? And how do we ensure that it never happens again, not just in Sullivan, but across America? And so I am expecting the Office of Head Start to do more to understand and to make very clear what occurred. There needs to be a degree of transparency, not only with members of Congress and those responsible for oversight, but with the public. They need to know what happened. And then we need to be sure that there are safeguards to make sure this doesn't happen again. But I'm very proud to have worked across the ideological spectrum, local, state, federal, with a great group of folks in Sullivan County to ensure that Head Start is funded, that Head Start is reopened, and that the families that rely on Head Start services have that support. Remember, you know, Head Start isn't only about daycare. It isn't. It is about quality preschool services that really advance young people as they enter into kindergarten or further in their education.
We've been speaking with New York Congressman Mark Molinaro from the 19th District. He's a Republican in office since 2023, and he's running for a second term. And we want to thank you for spending all this time on the Congressional Corner yet again. We will catch you down the road a little bit.
You will. Be well. Thanks.